God cannot be described, cannot be defined, cannot be explained, cannot be seen, cannot be thought of, cannot be felt. He's not a person or a place or even a form. You say he's not form, then how about we have Ganpati here, Sri Krishna, Mother Lakshmi, Saraswati. What are all these? This reality, which is beyond all names, forms, appearance, in his infinite mercy, takes all these different forms, whether it's Krishna or Jesus or Buddha or Ganpati or Saraswati. All these forms are manifestations and appearances of that one reality. And the reason we have these forms, because we can love them, we can develop a relationship. When you see Krishna, you remember all his leelas. When you remember Ganpati, you invoke him to remove obstacles. When you see Jesus on the cross, you remember his sacrifice and what he did for us. So all these forms help us to remind us of that one reality. Even though that cannot be described in words, but words is the only thing we have. Language is the only means for us to intellectually understand. And then at least with that knowledge which the scriptures give us, then we can turn our attention and try to reach that reality. There is a famous saint, Mahamati Prannath, in the 17th century, he said in Gujarat, he said, I have seen that state, which he called Paramdham, the highest state. I have experienced it. And when I try to describe it, my heart cries because I feel that my words are inadequate to describe the beauty and the splendor and the joy and the bliss of that state which we call as realization. But then why do I do it? He says, because I want all of you also to have that experience. So by listening to my words, you may be encouraged to seek on your own, because you'll say, oh, he has enjoyed that. Let me also do it. It's like somebody once climbed Mount Everest. Others say, you know, that great thing is achieved. Why should I not do it? And now there are thousands of people, hundreds of people who have climbed Everest. So that is the purpose of all the scriptures, to inspire us, to lead us to that infinite state of reality. And the 13th chapter, the next few verses, are masterful descriptions. I don't think in any literature anywhere in the world, in 5 verses, you'll find such a profound description of this reality, which we'll be doing in the next 2 or 3 weeks. The verses are a little difficult. At least they were difficult for me to understand. They'll be difficult for me to explain. I'll try my best. But I would request all of you to pay attention, because this knowledge is a little subtle, it's obtuse. And that's why I also would encourage everybody to buy these Gita sets, because in this, Swami Chinmayananda has written very beautifully a detailed commentary of each verse, which I am not able to express in my words, but by reading you can. And also just by listening once, this knowledge will not register. So either you can read it again in the book, or Tony puts them on the website, these talks, you can listen again. But repeated listening and shravana, reading, will help. So far in the 13th chapter, we have, Lord Krishna has told us about 2 things. First, he said, what is this world? You know, Kshetra and Kshetrajna. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhag, that is the name of this chapter. So Kshetra is the field. He says all these Mahabhutas, the 5 elements, the sense organs with which you can perceive them, the mind, the intellect, the unmanifest vasanas, everything that you perceive is the world, is the Kshetra. And then he says, Kshetrajna I am. Krishna says, I as the infinite reality, as the consciousness within you, I am the Kshetrajna, I am the knower. But before I describe what this knower is, who is this consciousness or I, Krishna tells us about the 20 values. So these values like humility and straightforwardness and unpretentiousness and respect for the guru and all those values are the base on which your spiritual building can be erected. It's like the rocket is on the base, and if you go to see Kennedy, they have this tall base on which they place the rocket. And then finally, when the fuse is lit or whatever, the rocket goes up into the sky and towards the moon and Mars and so on. So similarly, these values we need to practice because that will make the basis. And once you have practiced the values, all you need is one fuse, and that is the teacher's knowledge. And once you have that, then your rocket can go upward and rocket up into that reality. Again, up does not mean it is somewhere up in space, but up in our thinking. Just as from deep sleep, you wake up to dream, and then from dream to awakening. So that is the fourth state called the Turiya state, which is the highest state. So you have to wake up to that. So this is what we have covered so far. So today onward, we'll start the description of this state, which they call as Brahman or reality or Father in heaven or what Krishna calls as I. I means not just Krishna in this form, but Krishna as the total reality of this whole universe. So in last week, in verse number 13, he said, I'll tell you that which is to be known. And who is that? The Brahman, the beginningless, highest state, which is neither manifest nor unmanifest, but beyond that. So that we had done last week. So today we'll do verse number 14. Sarvatah Panipadam Tata. Sarvatokshi shiro mukham. Sarvata shruti malloke. Sarvamavritya tishthati. Yeah, I have translated here. So, with hands and feet everywhere, eyes, head and mouth everywhere. Sarvata shrutimat. Shrutimat means ears. So everywhere, ears everywhere, loke in this world. Sarvam avritya tishthati. Tishthati means he exists. He means that Lord exists, enveloping everything, covering everything, pervading everything, that Lord exists. So what do we mean by with hands and feet everywhere, eyes, head and mouths everywhere, ears everywhere? That reminds us of this Purush Suktam, in which, the Rishi says, he says this Purusha, this Supreme Lord, Sahasra Shirsha, has 1,000 heads, Sahasraksh, 1,000 eyes, Sahasrapa, 1,000 feet, enveloping this whole universe. He extends 10 fingers beyond. So he said, what do you mean by 10 fingers? So this whole universe you count and then 10 more fingers and that's where the Lord is? No, when I was reading a commentary on this Purush Suktam, very beautifully it says 10 fingers means 5 sense organs and 5 organs of action. So our sense organs and organs of action can only reach up to the edge of the universe. I can maybe able to see it eventually with some telescope, or I can talk about it. I can listen to some astronomer or physicist telling me about how many trillion miles or how many billion light years and all. But that consciousness is even beyond that. So neither your sense organs can see it. You cannot see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. You cannot describe it. You cannot hold it. You cannot walk to it. So it is beyond that, 10 fingers beyond. So, artists make very elaborate descriptions. There is this God and he has 1,000 heads and then 1,000 eyes and then 1,000 feet and 1,000 hands. That's not really correct, because suppose God had 1,000 noses and then if he caught a cold, what would he do? How many boxes of Kleenex he would need? So these are just artistic descriptions. The artists are making an effort to describe this reality. But what it really means, what Krishna is telling us, that all hands are mine. All hands in the universe, all are mine, whether it's humans, whether it's birds, animals, fish, even gods in heaven, even the demons and ghosts and goblins, and even maybe there may be other worlds, you know, in all the universes, there may be so many other planets, and maybe there's life there. All hands, all of them are mine. All feet are mine. All eyes are mine. All ears are mine. All speech is mine. So the idea being that this reality is required for anything to happen. For my eyes to see, I need, you know, I need the consciousness. If this consciousness is not in us, we won't be able to see. A person who is dead, you cannot shake hands with him. You may hold his hand, but he cannot respond back. Not only dead, a person who is in deep sleep, and you talk to him, you know, he won't answer, because the consciousness is not working through his mind and intellect, even though he's alive, but at this moment he is in deep sleep. Some people sleep, you know, with their eyes open. And you know, and you show them $100 bill, you know, he's not going to respond. But if he wakes up and then you show him the $100 bill, he'll be gone, you'll never see it again. So when this consciousness is not functioning, the person cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot smell, he cannot taste, he cannot walk or talk. So the idea being that whatever is happening in this universe, all that is being seen. So for me, how do I utilize that knowledge that I constantly remember that I am seeing because of that, I am hearing because of that. Whatever I am able to do, the speech, that whatever I am doing at this moment and whatever listening is all because there is this one consciousness. And that is very important to remember, that there is only one consciousness, there is only one God, there is only one substratum called Brahman. And people fight, you know, my God is better than your God and my God is superior. There is nothing like that. There is only one. All these forms are just beautiful manifestations. And so one has to constantly respect that. And that's why all religious scriptures have to be respected, because they all came from that one source. The prophets are different. You know, they speak in different languages. Jesus was speaking to fishermen. Muhammad was speaking to some warriors. Krishna was giving this knowledge to Arjuna. The rishis in the Upanishads were talking to very evolved students. So the knowledge is different based upon the audience, based upon the student. It appears different. The language is different. The time when it presented, some was 8,000 years ago, somebody was 2,000 years ago, you know, somebody was 300 years ago. So depending on the age, depending on the time, depending on the student, depending on the language, depending on the conditions of the country where it was manifested, the knowledge appears different superficially, but it's only different in the rituals. In reality, there is only one knowledge, there is only one Brahman. So sarvatah pani padam tata sarvato akshi shiro mukham sarvata shruti malloke sarvam avritya tishthati. He covers and envelopes everything and exists. What do they mean by that? What it means is that, just like electricity, you know, now electricity, is it only in these bulbs or only in the fan? No. Electricity is there in the whole building. Wherever the wires are, electricity permeates or pervades the entire building. Every wire, the electricity is there. But wherever there is light, electricity manifests. Or if you need to turn a heater on or a fan, you plug in that and the plug, and there the light, the air will come on. So even though electricity is everywhere, all pervading everywhere, but it appears only where the connection is, where the light is, or where the like the radio, if you connect, you know, it will appear sound. It's like another example they give is the radio station. The radio station now, you know, whatever KGFM or whatever, it broadcasts to the whole Kern County. So it's there in the entire atmosphere. It's pervading everywhere. But if you have a radio station that is tuned to that station, 101.5 or whatever that dial is, you can then connect and get that sound. It could be music, it could be talk show, it could be whatever you are listening. So similarly, this consciousness is there everywhere. It's there in the space between me and her, or between me and him. The consciousness is there. But wherever this BMI is there, this individual, and you know that we are here, a man or a woman, or could be a dog or a cat or a plant, wherever that appropriate medium is there, then that consciousness expresses. It does not express in a rock, because a rock does not have the ability to express, does not have a mind and intellect, does not have the ability to speak or listen, but a plant does have. A plant has some limited understanding, so when that consciousness can express through the plant, or can express through the animal, can express through the birds or the fish. So that is what they mean, that sarvam avritya tishtati. It envelops everything, it covers everything, but it exists, but it manifests in humans, in plants. That's why one has to see the divinity in all. That's what even, you know, Mahatma Gandhi taught us, that even in the, he called them Harijan, the people of the lower caste, because those were persecuted. The idea being that nobody is low or high. Everybody is a Harijan. Everybody is a manifestation of that Lord. And that then teaches you universal love, love for all plants, love for all animals. You know, vegetarianism is a part of that, because that I should not damage or intentionally inflict torture upon other animals just to satisfy my hunger, when plants and fruits and all that can do that. So that understanding we get from this verse. This reminds me of the 11th chapter. Arjuna in the 11th chapter, when he sees the cosmic form, you know, he asks the Lord Krishna, "Oh, show me your cosmic form," because Krishna had said that these are all in me, you know. Matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu asvastastata teshu avasthita. He says these beings are all in me, and everything is my expression. He says, I want to see that. Divyam dadami te chakshu. So Lord Krishna says, I'll give you a divine chakshu with which you can see my form. And it is so beautiful. In the 11th chapter, I think about a year and a half ago, we had covered that. And in the 11th chapter, the Lord then shows him in this limited form, the 6 feet or whatever Krishna's height was and whatever his width was. In that width of that body, Arjuna sees the entire universe. He sees everything, right from the battlefield where they are on right now. He sees that. He sees the whole earth. He sees all the planets. He sees even the heavens. You know, he sees all the gods in Indra and Agni and Vayu and all those gods in heaven. He sees all the ghosts and demons. Everything he sees in that form. Not only that, but he sees the past, present, and future. He sees that even what is going to happen. He sees that at the end of this battlefield, all these great heroes, you know, Bhishma and Karna and Drona, who are the enemy, who are on the wrong side, they will all perish, and he will prevail. So Krishna assures him that because the Lord is on your side and the right is on your side, Satyam Eva Jayate, you will win. And Arjuna, very beautifully, he does a beautiful stuti or praise of the Lord. He says, O Lord, aneka bahu dara vakra netram pashyami tvam sarvato nanta rupam na antam na madhyam na punastavadim pashyami visveshvara vishvarupa. He says, aneka bahu dara vakra netram. He says, I see so many arms in you. I see so many faces. I see so many heads. So many eyes. That means all the beings are yours. and I see your Ananta Rupam, I see your endless form, where there is no beginning, no middle, no end. Anta Madhya, there is nothing. Adi Madhya Anta, nothing I see. Pashyami, I see the infinite form. So in that little form of Krishna, he sees the entire universe without end. And he says, I cannot see where the universe ends. Talking about ending, this is a joke of Swami Tejomaya Nandaji. I'll repeat it. He says this man was standing in the theater line. There was a long line. The movie had just been released that first day. And so there was a long line. This guy finally, from the back of the line, finally he has bought his ticket. He's about to enter the theater. And his friend comes out, so who had just seen the movie, the show ended. He says, how was the movie? So he says, the movie had a happy ending. So he said, really? He said, yeah, we were happy it ended. Of course, the guy lost interest in going. But so the movie ends, you know, we all will end. This universe will end. This earth will end. There will be a time when there will be nothing. You know, that's why they say this pralaya, where, you know, billions of years ago, the world emerged from that one reality. And that's why that is Brahmaji, or the creator, from who created this whole universe. And then he's sustained by Vishnu, the sustainer who takes care of us and sustains us. And then when it time comes, he appears on earth. You know, yada dadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Shri Krishna says in the 18th chapter that whenever dharma is suffering, the good people are suffering, and the evil is becoming powerful, and the evil ideas are strong, then a prophet like, or a saint, or the incarnation of the God like Shri Krishna comes, or Jesus, or Buddha, or, you know, Shankaracharya, or Swami Chinmayananda, these great powers appear from time to time to re-establish the dharma, to re-establish the truth, to re-establish that. So that is Vishnu. So then the earth, the creator is Brahmaji, the sustainer is Vishnu, and then when it time comes for us to leave, then the Lord Shiva steps in, Mahadev, and he then takes us away. So this entire universe is created, sustained, and destroyed. You know, even the trees you can see, you know, first the leaves are green, and then there is the fall season where they turn red and orange and they fall. And then in the winter, everything is bleak. And then, in spring again, everything is... That's why Sri Krishna in the 10th chapter, he says, among all the seasons, I am spring. Because spring is the beautiful season where flowers are blooming, plants. So this whole universe is created, sustained, and destroyed repeatedly by that one factor that we call as Brahman, or that substratum. And so Sri Krishna says, all of that I am. So that one consciousness appears as the creator, appears as the sustainer, and appears as the destroyer. So there is a continuous cycle. But he says, I am beyond that. Do not think that I am only limited to that. That's why loving one form of God is very good. You know, it's very good to develop a relationship, whether you love Krishna or you love Shiva or Mother, you know, Durga or whatever. The developing a relationship with one form is very good. You may see Jesus and your heart fills with tears. But then one has to see that their one reality is not only confined. Yeah, for me, yes, this is the form I love the most, and that is very good. But he is also there in all other forms. So I respect all other forms, I respect all other religions, I respect all other prophets, and I respect all other places of worship, because they all take me to that one truth. So that is the message of this beautiful verse that tells us that what is it that we need to know, where is it that we need to reach, and what is the purpose of this life. Nyeyam yat tat pravakshyami. Krishna says, I will tell you that which is to be known, that where we need to reach. So the purpose of human birth is to realize. That is the main purpose. And that is very beautifully given in the 13th chapter. So if any comments.
Yeah.
Well, abortion is wrong anyway because you are taking a life. But, you know, God is everywhere. But what our scripture say that after 3 months or approximately, what is the 12th week or so on, that's when the jiva enters. God is there everywhere, but the jiva enters the mother's womb around the 3rd or 4th month. So until then, the fetus, even though it has the potential to live, is not really alive in the complete sense, because the individuality has not entered. It is still a mass of flesh that is multiplying, growing, and taking form and all that. But either way, I mean, you know, taking a life is always wrong. But then there are arguments about, you know, if it was rape or it was, you know, due to incest or, you know, the woman's health. So there are many other factors. So there is plus and minus in everything. I mean, yes, the fetus's life is important, but then the mother's life we have to look. And there are so many arguments for and against. We can't get into all that. Because again, there, you know, there may be certain situations in which, or if the child is severely deformed, you know, I mean, things like that. But again, that's, you can't justify that because it's still taking a life. But they say that around the 3rd or 4th month is when the jiva enters, the mind, intellect, and vasanas. That is that package called the individuality. Until then, it is only a body. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kashchid dukkhabhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti, hari om shri gurubhyo namaha, hari om.